the committee for giving us an opportunity to present on Senate Bill 134. My goal is to provide testimony on that in addition to the testimony from the others from whom you'll hear. This bill is intended, Mr. Chairman, to provide access to health insurance through the Maryland Health Insurance Plan for those individuals who attempted to enroll through the Maryland Health Benefit Exchange, but through no fault of their own, were unable to get coverage. I do want to back up just a bit here. Since the beginning of the O'Malley-Brown administration, I've had the opportunity to work with the legislature on a number of issues. And Governor O'Malley has asked me to take responsibility in a number of areas. Initially, I led the state's coordinating efforts in the base realignment and closure as we coordinate our efforts to bring tens of thousands of jobs to Maryland. And later, we worked together, the governor and I, with you, as we expanded behavioral health services to veterans, particularly in our rural communities. And together, we strengthened our laws to address the public health and public safety challenge presented by domestic violence. The governor also tasked me with leading the state's efforts to reform health care in Maryland. And working with you, we've done just that. We worked together as early as 2007 and expanded our Medicaid program. Today, 400,000 Marylanders have access to health insurance because of what we've done together. We worked together to create a patient-centered medical home model in Maryland, where primary care offices around the state are focusing today much more on wellness and prevention than treating disease and illness. We created the Health Enterprise Zone program, where primary care provided resources that were scarce in so many underserved communities are now being delivered today. And just last week, CMS approved our application to modernize our three-decade-old Medicare waiver, which has been characterized as one of the most innovative and bold reforms in both increasing quality and decreasing the cost of delivering care in Maryland hospitals. The governor also tasked me with the responsibility to chair the Health Reform Coordinating Council as we implemented the many provisions of the Affordable Care Act. And I want to thank the chairman. I want to thank Senators Glassman and Casemeyer for participating on the Health Reform Coordinating Council. As you know, the council studied and recommended many pieces of legislation and policy directions across the broad spectrum of the Affordable Care Act. Workforce issues, safety net issues, outreach and education, Medicaid expansion, and the establishment of the Health Benefits Exchange. During the past three legislative sessions, based on the work of the council, we established the governance and organizational framework for the Health Benefit Exchange and developed the responsibilities and the policies that would guide its work. The Exchange Board and Executive Director were tasked to develop, operate, and maintain the website so that thousands of Marylanders could enroll in affordably priced ACA-compliant insurance plans. During the time that the Exchange was developing the website, I received numerous updates and reports in my role as chair of the Coordinating Council regarding the progress towards the October 1st launch. The reports all stated that the launch was achievable, notwithstanding that there is always risk in a large, complicated IT project, but that we would deliver for the people of Maryland. And on October 1st, and in the weeks immediately after October 1st, I was deeply disappointed and frustrated that the exchange was significantly underperforming. Underperforming for Marylanders who need access to health care, who relied on the exchange, and for whom the exchange did not deliver. I was also disappointed and frustrated with the pre-launch reports provided to me and my staff, which stated that the exchange would perform and deliver for our families. I and others relied on the accuracy of those reports. Everyone, Mr. Chairman, who was involved in setting up the exchange has a responsibility, and that includes me. I spent 8 years sitting where you are, and now 7 on the second floor. I took pride then, as I do today, in always being prepared and understanding not only the reports that are made to me, but evaluating the underlying information that support those reports. In retrospect, if I had today or 9 months ago the knowledge that I have today that I've learned since the launch, I would have insisted on receiving the underlying documentation that should have but would not have supported those reports. Since mid-November, the governor and I have taken the following actions. We have reorganized the project leadership, and there is now a new interim executive director, Carolyn Quatrochi, at the Health Benefits Exchange. We've launched a staff surge, particularly focusing on staffing up at our call centers. We've removed and brought in new contractors, and we've addressed numerous hundreds, if not thousands, critical IT fixes to make the system operational for most Marylanders. Because of these steps, as we are driving toward the goal of 260,000 more Marylanders covered under the Affordable Care Act, to date, 174,500 Marylanders are on track to obtain health insurance under the Affordable Care Act, including 92,000 PAC, that's the primary adult care, who are migrating to full Medicaid, 60,000 new Medicaid enrollees through the exchange, and 22,500 qualified or private health plans, again, through the exchange. And following this bill hearing, as the chairman mentioned, you will receive a briefing from Dr. Sharfstein, as you know, our health secretary and chairman of the exchange board. It'll provide a detailed presentation of the IT system that supports the website, an explanation of what went wrong and what has happened since October 1st, and a description of the plan moving forward. This hearing is about providing a safety net to those Marylanders who attempted to enroll through the exchange but were unable to do so and who need insurance immediately, possibly due to immediate medical needs or expenses. Perhaps on your desktops or laptops and on the board, the screen behind the chairman, I'd like to use that just to illustrate what I mean by someone who attempted and was unable to enroll. That is a simplified schematic of what is a very complicated IT infrastructure and software package that enrolls people through the exchange. On the far left are the three ways in which one would enroll, either on the website or in the bottom, a paper application, or on top by calling a call center. It goes into that box in the middle labeled number one, and that's the HICS. That's the exchange. That's where eligibility determinations are made, account registration occurs, plan selection occurs. Above that, the HICS interfaces with the federal hub, where no less than 8 databases are contacted or engaged, including the IRS and Social Security and immigration and a number of other databases. When everything works well, or if it requires a manual workaround, and you'll hear more of that from Dr. Sharfstein, it comes out on the other end to the right in either a Medicaid enrollment or in a qualified or private health plan. There are a lot of processes embedded in that simple sketch that you see there. So one example of someone who made an attempt but was not able to enroll is because they were locked out of their account. Many customers were locked out of their account after trying to access it on several attempts with the wrong password. And the only fix was to have the customer service center submit a ticket to reset the password. And we've made a lot of progress in fixing that, in eliminating that, but this is the number one issue that we're hearing about, and no doubt you are hearing about in your offices as well. A second example is in plan shopping. That's right there in that middle box there. Many customers were unable to shop for plans. They would receive an error message or a blank screen when attempting to do so. And this was what we referred to as the screen freezing issue. We fixed this one to the extent that it's only happening in perhaps less than 1% of the current attempts to enroll in health insurance. A third example, and this will be my final, there are a number of others, trouble creating an account. Many customers had trouble creating an account, and we have and continue to address that issue. Mr. Chairman, we are very encouraged, and I'm going to assume that each of the members of the committee have by now heard about the announcement that was made this morning with the four private carriers who are offering plans on the exchange: CareFirst, Kaiser, United, and Evergreen. The governor and I requested, and they agreed, that they will allow all Marylanders who are unable to enroll through the exchange by January 1st to obtain retroactive coverage through the exchange. We believe that this will cover the vast majority of those Marylanders who would otherwise be protected by the bill that's in front of you. Those who attempted to enroll, but for no fault of their own, were unable. We are going to be reaching out to these individuals. We have visibility on them in our system. We have been reaching out, and we will continue to reach out to these individuals who made an attempt but were unable to enroll. And we'll be asking these individuals to come forward and make a decision to enroll in any one of these four qualified or private health plans. Some may not be eligible, and we will assist them into Medicaid. Others may not be eligible for a subsidy, so they don't need to go through the exchange. They can go directly to the carrier. For those who are eligible for that federal subsidy, we will continue to work with them to get them through the exchange and over to that private carrier of their choice. But even with this new retroactive private option that was made, that was announced this morning, we believe that the MHIP legislation in front of you is necessary because there may be individuals, maybe a few hundred, who missed the window to sign up for this retroactive coverage. The window closes a week from today at 5 p.m., and you'll hear from Carolyn Quatrochi, not in testimony, but as we discuss this, why it is that there's a January 21st, 5 p.m. deadline for that private retroactive option that was announced today. So we need this MHIP option that's in front of you to make sure that no one slips through the cracks. For everyone who still needs to take advantage of this MHIP option, and we think the number is probably a few hundred, the average cost of the state will range from $400 to $700 per person per month, depending on the individual's plan and the subsidy. Briefly, how does the legislation that's in front of you work? And this is the MHIP retroactive option for those that do not choose the private retroactive option that was announced today. The bill amends the Maryland Health Insurance Plan to accept what we will define as bridge-eligible individuals. It establishes a definition for bridge-eligible individuals as those who attempted to enroll in coverage through the Maryland Health Benefit Exchange and were unsuccessful. Based upon an individual, when the individual enrolls, the insurance coverage provided to bridge-eligible individuals through MHIP can be retroactive to January 1st, 2014. As submitted, the bill would allow bridge-eligible individuals to enroll in MHIP up to March 31st of this year and allow the MHIP board to extend the deadline if bridge-eligible individuals are unable to enroll in coverage through the exchange. It states that when a bridge-eligible individual successfully switches over to that private health plan through the exchange, then their enrollment in MHIP will terminate, and they're not paying two premiums. It allows the MHIP board to adopt policies and procedures, and you will hear from Ms. Eberle that they are already in that process, just waiting for this legislation to be enacted. They will adopt policies and procedures necessary to operate and administer the plan to enroll bridge-eligible individuals. This includes procedures for an individual to prove that they are a bridge-eligible individual who attempted to obtain coverage through the exchange, and number two, that they're qualified, which means they're a citizen and they're a resident of the state of Maryland. Mr. Chairman, the governor and I and our staffs working with the staff, the governing board, consultants, and contractors at the exchange have been working nonstop to strengthen and improve the system and to provide additional ways for mail owners to obtain coverage. While we're very encouraged by today's agreement with the carriers and believe that it will provide most mail owners who are unable to enroll with the best option, the option to receive retroactive coverage, to obtain a federal subsidy and only enroll once, we still need to pass Senate Bill 134. If there are any individuals who don't apply by this January 21st deadline, which is a week from today, so that their families are not making the decisions or making the decision not to get the care that they need or taking on expenses that they otherwise should not have to take on. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee.